The New Testament reading is from John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31, and you can follow this in the Pew Bible on page 112. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Mary. As you may hear, my voice is still a bit croaky, so I'm going to put a bit of glass of water down there. If you get bored of the sermon, you can work out the chances of me accidentally kicking that over onto the electric cable during the sermon. Take a sip. If you went into church, any church, on Easter Sunday, and you said, "Alleluia, Christ is risen," you may well find that one or more people will reply, "Brilliant, he's risen indeed, alleluia, alleluia." Now, try the same experiment on a Sunday, go into a pub or a coffee shop and say, "Alleluia, Christ is risen," and they might well respond, "Well, so what? So what?" And if someone said that to you, I wonder what reply you'd make. What difference does it make? What difference does it make that Jesus is risen? Or put that a slightly different way, how should you and I respond to the resurrection of Jesus? We saw last Sunday, if you were here, that his death and resurrection make a huge difference because he's risen, death is defeated. And Jesus is alive. Jesus really did die. He really was buried. And he really rose again to physical life. Not just a memory. He rose. And that makes all the difference to, well, everything. It changes our attitude, for example, to sickness and suffering and death. Because Jesus has won. And none of those things has the last word. But the resurrection is such a huge thing. It's kind of hard to take in. as we're reading through John's Gospel last week and this week, even after the appearance to Mary and John and Peter seeing the empty tomb, there's a sense in the Gospel that the disciples as a whole still have a lot of learning to do about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so in our passage this week, we're going to follow them as they and we encounter the risen Jesus, as they and we take in that fact of his resurrection just a bit more deeply. And I want us to ask that question: how should we respond to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And I think we'll find the answer in just three words. Just three words. You want me to listen out for them, see if I counted correctly. Three things for us to do in response to the resurrection. And the first one is to see. First thing is see. I wonder if you noticed, as Mary was reading to us, how important seeing is in these verses from John chapter 20. If you remember from last week, the verse just before our passage, Mary, when she goes to the disciples, she says, "I have seen the Lord." And then at the start of our passage, on the evening of that first Easter day, Jesus comes and stands in the midst of his disciples. He speaks peace to them, and then he shows them. He demonstrates them. He shows them the marks on his hands and in his side. He gives them proof that it really is him. Not an imposter, not an hallucination, not even some other crucified man, because they wouldn't have the mark in the side. This is Jesus, really crucified, really risen, and standing in front of them for them to see. And of course, he doesn't have to do this. He doesn't have to, but he chooses to come and show the disciples that he's risen, because he wants them to know. He wants them to see with their own eyes. And so it must be that seeing Jesus matters. There's no other reason for him to do that. And you see the effect that it has on them in the next verse, there in verse 20. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Seeing Jesus risen is what convinces them. And once they know that he really is risen, they are filled with joy. Seeing Jesus matters. But I know what you're thinking, because you've read on to the rest of the passage, obviously, and you remember that bit. What about Thomas? What about Thomas? Because Thomas isn't there when the rest of the disciples are there on that first Easter evening. He isn't there when Jesus visits, and they tell him about it. And again, notice what they say in verse 25. We have seen the Lord, because seeing Jesus matters. But Thomas won't believe them. He won't believe them. It's not just that he doesn't or that he can't. He won't believe them. He wants to see for himself, but not only that, he wants to put his hands in the wounds. And until he's done that, he won't believe. The way he says it is very emphatic. It's a refusal to believe the words of the apostles. Now, Jesus, as so often, is very gracious. He chooses again to come to the disciples, and this time Thomas is there. And he turns, and it's hard not to imagine a bit of a smile on his face, turns to Thomas and says, "You know, put your fingers in the wounds, because I heard you, Thomas. I know. Put your hand in my side. You can do, just get the proof just that you asked for." And there's no actual suggestion that Thomas ever did that. Well, he wouldn't, would you? I mean, he's there. And Thomas just confesses, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus is gracious in showing himself to Thomas, but he does give him a gentle rebuke. Verse 27, "Do not doubt, but believe." And then in verse 29, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Jesus shows himself to his disciples and again to Thomas, and he will show himself to them again before his ascension. There are lots of resurrection appearances, but he says it's blessed to believe without seeing him. So are we supposed to see him or not? Well, it depends on who you are and what it means to see him. depends on who you are and what it means to see him. You see, there's the disciples, those apostles, there in the beginning. And then there's us. And we have some things in common, but we are not the same. And to help us understand that difference, God has arranged events such that Thomas, for this purpose, just sits somewhere between the two. You see, the disciples, they are the original witnesses to Jesus. They were there to witness his life, to witness his death, and now to witness his resurrection. And on them will depend for all time the testimony to everyone that Jesus was who he said he was, that he really lived, he really died, and he really is risen. They are a unique first generation who need to see him. It's their preaching that will build the church in its early days. And even more importantly, it's from their witness that our New Testament will come. They need to see the risen Jesus stood there before them. Thomas didn't see Jesus at first, but he did have every one of the apostles come and tell him Jesus is risen. And he refused to accept it. He had the testimony of the apostles, and he refused to accept it. And Jesus was gracious and showed himself to him, but he also used it as an opportunity to say that we do not need to see Jesus bodily to know that he's risen. We see him through the testimony of his disciples. And here it is. This is how we see Jesus, through the testimony of his disciples. And Jesus himself says, that's enough. You need to see me, but you see me here. You see me in my word, because it's my witnesses who have passed that word on to you. You and I are probably not going to see the risen Jesus bodily, probably, until we die or he returns, and then we will. But we can listen to the witness of the disciples, and we can know from that that he is risen. So our first challenge this morning is, have you seen? Have you seen? Have you looked at these words, at the witness of the disciples written down, and have you seen Jesus in here? If you're sitting here this morning or you're watching at home and you've never done that before, can I invite you to do it this week? Pick up a gospel, read it through, it won't take you very long. And see Jesus as he is, that he is living and risen from the dead. And if you are, as I guess many of us here are, someone who knows Jesus, you have a living faith in him, you know he's risen. Have you made time this Easter to read these words of the disciples and to see Jesus afresh? If not, why not do that this week? Why not take a gospel and read it through and see the risen, living Jesus in the testimony of his witnesses? That's our first word. Firstly, how we respond to the resurrection, we'll see. And the second two won't take us as long. Firstly, see. Secondly, believe. Believe. Because that is the point of seeing, isn't it? When the disciples saw Jesus, they rejoiced because it proved that he was risen. They could believe it. They could believe in him because they'd seen him. And again, with Thomas, when he's seen Jesus, he believes. He knows that Jesus is his Lord and his God. And that's the reason that we are given the Bible. That's the reason we're given this book, so that we might see Jesus in it and then believe in him. Seeing Jesus matters, but believing in him matters even more. That's very clear, isn't it, in the last verses of our passage. You might want to just have a look with me in page 112, verses 30 and 31. Let me read them to you again. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This gospel is a selective document. It doesn't tell us everything that Jesus did. How could it? You try writing down everything you do for 3 years. You won't be able to lift the book that you produce. And one of the great joys that Christians have to look forward to when we finally meet Jesus face to face is finding out all the other things that he did. How much of eternity might we spend discovering new things that he's done? But these ones have been chosen and set down here with one aim in mind. That you and I might read these words, see Jesus, and believe in him. You sometimes hear people talk as though the Gospels and the Christian faith in general, as though they are there to teach us morals. As though they're there to give us rules to live by, a good example to aim for, a comforting philosophy about the world. Can you see how this gospel itself tells us that is not what it's for? It's not a how-to book. It's not a improve yourself or self-help book. The point of this book is that we might believe in Jesus. We might believe that he is the Son of God, and we need to believe that because it's the way by which we have eternal life. The way by which we have life in all its fullness, as Jesus says earlier in this gospel. A full, rich, proper life now, and life for all eternity. So the second challenge for us this morning is, not just have you seen, but have you believed? Have you seen Jesus and been convinced that he's risen? Have you seen that this is God become man? And have you come to him for life in his name? Because the resurrection isn't just an interesting fact of history. Something you can say, yeah, I'm fairly convinced that happened. It's a stamp of approval on who Jesus is. And it calls us to put our faith in him. How should we respond to the resurrection? Firstly, see, then believe, and lastly, go. See, believe, and go. Come back with me just in our closing minutes to verse 21. Jesus appearing to those disciples for the first time. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When Jesus comes, he doesn't only show himself, not only gives them peace and wholeness, which he promised just before he died in chapters 14 and 16, but he gives them a job to do. He continually speaks of himself through this gospel as someone who is on a mission. And he speaks of his Father as the one who sent him. And now in this verse he says, over to you. It's your turn to continue the work that I have been doing. Now in one very important sense, we need to say that Jesus' work is finished. He's said that on the cross, hasn't he? It is finished. He's paid the price for sin. His resurrection is proof that that price is accepted and enough. There's no need to add to that and nothing that we can contribute to our salvation. But the witness to him still needs to happen. And as we've seen, the primary witness is of the disciples giving us their testimony in the Bible. But it doesn't stop with them. If we've seen and we believe, we too are sent. We have to go and bear witness to the fact that Jesus is risen. Do you see there's a lot riding on that in verse 23? If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. I don't think that's saying that you and I have the power to decide whether someone else is forgiven or not. That's not for us to do. Only God can do that. But it's a reminder, rather, that whether or not someone is forgiven depends on how they respond to the good news that Jesus is risen. The good news that he's died for their sin and risen and will never die again. So we see the disciples sent out in the power of the Spirit with this message. And where it's accepted, it brings life. And where it's rejected, there is no forgiveness and no life. And that's the same with us. If we're called to see, and we are. If we're called to believe, and we are, you and I are also called to go. Just as the Father sent Jesus, so Jesus sends us to go with this message of forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name and life forever because of his resurrection. And so our third and final challenge, not only have you seen, not only will you believe, are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? Are you willing to be sent by Jesus in the power of his Spirit to bear witness that he is alive? Will you go to the gardening club, the toddler group, the art class, the pub, the school gate, your own family, wherever your front line is? Will you go and bear witness in your words and actions that Jesus is alive? See, believe, go. I wonder, as you've heard these verses this morning, which of those three is God nudging you about? Which one is he tugging at your sleeve to say, this is the next thing? Do you need to investigate the claims of Jesus more? Do you need to put your faith in him? Do you need to go and witness to his resurrection in the places he calls you this week? Why don't we have a moment of quiet prayer as we bring whatever that is before God and ask for his help to do that this week? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are risen and that you have given us the testimony of the apostles to know that you are alive. Pray, Father, this morning that we might see Jesus risen and alive, that we might believe that he is the Son of God and that his death has won our forgiveness. And we pray, Father, that this week, by the power of your Spirit, we might go and bear witness to all we meet that you are risen, Lord Jesus. Help us to take you with us in our words and actions wherever we go this week, we pray. For we ask it in your name. Amen.